Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries to the WIBR Warn Radio Network on our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, find us by hashtag Watchman. Instagram, use hashtag Warn Radio. Join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler with at Watchman DGS and CloudHub with at Warn Radio. You can listen to our shows on Warn-USA or Dana Glenn Smith. And you can also listen to the WIBR Warn Radio Network on the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Please take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. The featured articles on Dana Glenn Smith are America, Truth Violated. Taken from Psalm 9, we find cities destroyed, those who have plotted against the nations and the judgment of Almighty God. There is hope, for the Lord stands to be a refuge in the times of trouble. Also, Thy Many Gods, O America. The mortar is gone, the firmament is of brass, and to a people blessed, the end rides a black horse with death alongside. Woe to the people whose knowledge has risen and choices have been made in air. And by going to Warn-USA, you can read the following articles by The Watchman: Faith Forward, God's Grace Amidst Peril. It is faith forward as we move about living life. In this we look for God's redeeming grace, while life and living may mean different things to different people. Also, Christian Nonconformity in the World. The phrase sounds opposite of what Christians are called to do. This is the beginning and ending of all things in Christ Jesus. So you can read more on those articles by going to danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. And now I welcome in The Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing good. We're the ninth day of September?
No, December.
December. Yeah, I was testing you to make sure you was awake.
Yeah, I passed the test. I'm awake.
You did. Well, we're 2 days after Pearl Harbor.
Anniversary.
Memorial. It was on the 7th.
How many years has it been?
A long time.
79? I think, maybe. Yeah.
Been quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, we are, I don't know what you call it, in the middle of the holiday where you can't meet with your families. You have to wear a mask everywhere you go, and they think you're a robber, so you get arrested and thrown in jail.
Because you have a mask on.
I'll tell you, if you was a burglar or somebody like that, you could literally get away with robbery. I mean, give me a break. Yeah, so, you know, these guys, they seem to love wearing masks. So far, they've been having mask mandates for a year and hasn't done any good.
No.
And yet they tell you to, and there's a lot of scientists and doctors who say that they're foolish. Quite a number. One actually lost his physician's license for the state where he operated because he said COVID was nonsense.
Yeah.
He said something to that effect.
Well, I like that one gun store. They said, don't wear a mask in here. We shoot people with masks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you're right up there, you know. Of course, they've got cameras now, but yeah. Such is life in the fast lane, isn't it?
Yes.
It's hard to believe.
They just use it as it's part of the propaganda to isolate people.
Well, you know, our first story up, we're talking about Nigeria again. And, you know, the issue about talking about these towers, and that is bringing up the troubled spots. And also illustrating the point that nobody has done anything to stop this stuff.
I know, it's tragic.
And Christian leaders over there in Nigeria are saying that their pleas for help is falling on government deaf ears. And, of course, if you take on the Fulani, you know, take up the case of the Fulani.
Right.
They've been just creating absolute havoc over there. And then you also have, you know, other groups that are Islamic that are over there. Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda. And there is a group of them that name themselves after ISIS. And and of course, with all the attacks, the other big question, and of course, one of the reasons I wanted to run with this story, and let me give you an intro. The Reverend Stephen Panya, he's president of the ECWA, the Evangelical Church Winning All. And, you know, you might think that's a little different, but when you are over there in, when you get over in Africa and a lot of these, India, you know, when they have a ministry or when they have, you know, anything like that, they literally name the title of the church or their ministry after what they're doing, you know. The church is winning all, you know.
And I like that.
You know, so it's interesting how they do that. They do it totally. It's not like we do it, but they literally put the descriptive term about what they're
and
there for.
I like that. It's positive. They
well
plan
it is.
On and it. Oh, I can't think what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry. It's. Planning, I mean, you're speaking faith right there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, there was a number of their group, you know, members that have been captured over the years after by extremist groups, Islamic. And we'll never forget the Chibok girls. And that was back in 2014. And the pastor says, please join with me and let us pray standing on God's promises in Matthew 18:18 through 19, that Boko Haram, ISWAP, or any other Islamic terror group shall not determine the fate of God's beloved daughters. In other words, they want them released. And the first one mentioned there is Leah Sheribu. But there's also Alice Nagata, Grace Lucas, Lillian Gayang. They're all ECWA members. And then the remaining Chibok. A lot of them got released. There was a number of them that recanted their faith. In other words, they did the Shahadid, the Muslim creed, you know. And that's the way you get it. But they do a story on Leah. We covered her for many, many years until we actually stopped hearing from her. 15 years old when she was captured, and she refused to recant her faith or anything. And there was 110 girls taken. I don't know how many left, but the last time we heard, she was still alive. There was a thing at one time that she had been killed, but then they said, no, she's still alive. And this is horrific, and that's why we want to cover it, because these girls need a voice, and we want you to remember them in prayer. And may God get them released, because Boko Haram, who took these girls, said that they weren't going to release Leah until she recants her faith. And one of the girls who got out of there, not by recanting, but she actually escaped and ran away. There was a number of them that did it. For some reason, Leah didn't go with them. I'm not sure why. Nobody knew. But she said that Leah was more having a ministry over there among them. And
she was like a prophetess or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, you just never know. But if she didn't escape and had a chance to, there was a reason. And, of course, that comes down to the call, you know, Tower?
It does. It does.
But she has been...
The call is greater than your own safety.
It is. Every time. And we've never... forgotten these girls, and I can just imagine how the parents are.
Oh, I know.
And you know, the ironic thing of it is, you know, these parents have gone without their daughters for a long time. I might note, at the time they took all these Christian girls, there was a big group of Muslim girls that were taken as well, and they were all released. And it's kind of ironic, while we in America have our little problems and divisions, you know, there's people in this world that are really, really facing danger. And I think that when we get a glimpse of these things, it should give us perspective, and be thankful to God that you're not in captivity. But make no mistake.
Or that your children haven't been kidnapped.
That's right. You know, it's just one of those things. That's why we do these programs. Tower has read a lot of stories on these, because we like to feature them in a special reading section. And... you know, what can you say about them? You know, there is a cost, and we want her released, but in the end, she's in the hands of the Lord. And that's one thing. When you get in an area like Nigeria, you live every day not knowing if you're going to live another one, literally.
That's right.
And we reported last week of all the people that were beheaded in Nigeria when they were going through. So there's just a lot of stuff, folks, and be thankful this time of year. Pray for this country here that we'll survive this election, and we don't become one of those crossfire weirdo nation states that have suddenly dropped off the end of the earth because we forsook our Constitution, which is what Biden would do.
That's right.
And this thing is not over with Trump by a long shot, although they think it is. Nevertheless, God is in charge. And no matter what happens or who's in charge, it comes down to one final thing. What is Christ to you? And what do you believe? And what's the cost of your belief? If you live in a society where it's easy to say you're a Christian, not much cost. If you're in a place where being a Christian, you're going to wind up dead, great cost.
Yep.
So
we have in America have trouble grasping that.
We do.
Because we have it so easy here.
And you know, for us, I call them gnat stings. For us, they're really intense. The people get under stress now because of everything that's going on, the COVID and the mask mandate and the shutting down and people actually physically losing their businesses because these liberal governors have kept them shut. And these are legitimate troubles, make no mistake. But, you know, there's areas where they don't care whether you wear a mask because they just soon lop your head off.
And they have been doing that, too.
You bet, you know, and I chuckle, a sad chuckle, because it tells us the ironic nature of the way things are in the world, you know. And we've been covering the persecuted church for pretty much over two decades now. And even before that, when we were back at Bible school back in the mid-70s, we knew missionaries that spent their entire life overseas. And so there is trouble. And there was always closed nations, and China was one of them. And North Korea was one of them. And even Russia was one. Russia, you know, they had the Russian Orthodox Church, but it was still a closed society. And they're all socialists coming out of Marxist, and they all have a tendency to borderline on being antichrist, anti-God, faithless, the state first. Now in our new shorts, we are in Azerbaijan and Myanmar. And there's been a lot of problems over in Azerbaijan and Armenia. Now, when I see these words, I think of over in Macedonia, up towards the Russian Empire, some of the former Russian republics. But nevertheless, you know, it's over there somewhere. Located, and of course Turkey is involved in this too, so Turkey is not, you know, that whole area. You get in Turkey and Russia, and right there in the Middle East, of course Russia is so big, you know, you have the Black Sea there, and of course their ships are there, Russian ships, and a lot of things going on over there. But Azerbaijani troops entered into the first district, which was ceded to their country when they had a ceasefire with Armenia. And Turkish troops were going to monitor alongside Russia for a ceasefire for 1 year. And the district that they have been fighting over, and this kind of reminds me of the district between Pakistan and India, up in the mountains up there, that they have been fighting for centuries as well. And they've been fighting there since the dissolvement of the Soviet Union, so it is up in that area where I was talking about. And of course, the international community recognized this land that they're fighting over as belonging, being an ethnically Turkic and Islamic country. And then you have another district there that's Armenian and Christian. I mean, isn't that funny how all these people just live right close together? So, and there's been a lot of trouble. I'm glad they have a ceasefire. And another one, Myanmar, a Christian accused of speaking against Buddhism, has been told that a verdict will soon be delivered. He was accused of two radical monks of denigrating Buddhism. This is way back in 2017. And since the case was first registered, now that's 2017, we're going to be in 2021. That's going on 4 years. He's been summoned to the court 54 times. Now,
wow,
voice,
that's a lot.
Yeah, Voice of the Martyrs is in the area, and that's really in Myanmar. Asked for prayers that God would cause the judge in the case to rule justly rather than give in to the pressure from the radicals. And now the monks that complained about it are part of a sect that's one of the most dangerous terrorist dangerous terrorist group in Myanmar. And so, I mean, you know, they should throw it out. But see, the problem of it is that these terrorists know where the judge is. So if the judge does not do what's right, they kill him and his family. That's how this works over there. So, you know, and this is typical when you get overseas, and we find this in Pakistan, we find this in India and other areas, where Christians wind up accused of something, and the system automatically is downhill from there, ain't it, Tower?
Oh, it is.
So there's a couple of new areas here you may not have thought about three, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Myanmar, we've talked about before. But, you know, people are just ready to kill you in a second, lie, you know, do whatever they can to get you killed. It just amazes me. And, of course, the gospel goes forth. And we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. And that pretty much sums it up. I mean, there's no argument. It overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
That's being born again and believing on the Lord. The word of your testimony, that's what you testify. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. That's the way it works. That comes out of the Gospels and the Lord talking. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now, that's what it sounds like. That's martyrship. That's death. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be always killed. But it does mean that's the final thing. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their lives unto the death. And, of course, I think right now I just thought of Leah Sherabu, a young 15-year-old girl who doesn't even know it, but... you know, a lot of people have talked about Leah Sherabu over these years. I wonder if her ears are burning in that tent or wherever she's at. They're talking about me again, Lord. I can tell.
They're praying.
Yep. Yep. May God release her.
Yeah, she's going to be 18 in February.
Oh, that's hard to believe. That's got to be gut-wrenching. But,
You
know, last week or the week before, I seen a quote from another guy that was suffering for his faith. He was in a jail cell, and I think it was Iran. And he says, the Lord has the keys to my jail cell.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. You know, in all these years...
And that's true, because look what he did for the Peter and Paul and all those that were in prison.
Exactly. I really like that. That's the first time I'd heard it from anybody like that over there. And, you know, it just, you know, if you will let it, if you will look at these stories and look at the people behind them, real people, real brothers and sisters, real stories, you know, you can see God working behind the scenes. Here's a guy that is in jail, suffering. He was up on a number of charges. I think he's the one that has to do with Iran. But at any rate, may God release them. But one of these days, they will be released. And Tower, we got one. Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This comes to us from persecution.org. International Christian Concern. This is about a North Korean Christian. Her name is Suk Young, and when she was 17 years old, she fled from her repressive country because she wanted to be able to worship God with freedom. She shared her 3,000-mile journey to South Korea with Liberty in North Korea in a video interview, and it's you could probably find it on persecution.org. But anyway, she was born in North Korea's Rangyang province, which is situated in the country's central northern area, and it's borders China. That province borders China. So smuggling and defection to China takes place regularly, and this shows the desperation for the North Koreans to survive, and the constant battle with starvation in North Korea is the government's way to make sure people don't even think about being free, and they don't satisfy the basic needs of food, sleep, and safety. And the system forces you to only focus on getting those needs met. And she really struggled with wanting freedom and being able to dream between that and abandoning her family. She did not want to do that. And so she really struggled with that. But in the end, she went for her dreams and freedom. And she would... her uncle was a Christian missionary in North Korea, and he went through a horrific time, and it had an impact on her. The police caught him sharing the gospel and put him in jail. And before his arrest, she said she was sheltered from the realities of the North Korean life. And she said every day he put his life on the line and lived it as if it was going to be his last day. And when she started visiting her prison, her uncle in prison, to bring him food, she started seeing what North Korea was really like. Christianity is seen as an enemy to the state of North Korea. Once arrested, Christians face imprisonment, torture, and even execution. North Korea has retained its unbroken record as the country ranked the most dangerous to be a place most dangerous place to be a Christian, and that's ranked by Christian persecution watchdog Open Doors. Isn't that something to be proud of? Ranked number one for years and years. And in 2011, she bid farewell to her homeland. She crossed the border into China and met with workers from Link, who escorted her out to shield her from police and human traffickers. And after a long journey through various countries, she finally arrived in South Korea. And she said, being able to worship and praise however I wanted in South Korea, I was so thankful for this freedom. My heart was full of gratitude. I don't think I came to South Korea without a purpose. Excuse me. And she plans to attend graduate school in the United States so that when North Korea opens to the world, she can help rebuild her nation. I'm getting ready for it, she said. That is my vision. Freedom is expressing your faith. So thank God for that she was able to get out. And we pray for freedom for all those in North Korea.
We do. And this particular story is really good. And living in America... We found freedom here, sometimes taken for granted.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
And many times we don't think it's for faith, because Christianity is not always welcomed here. People tolerate it. It's not like it used to be at all. And but this year there has been a number of uptick in faith and people dedicating themselves because of what has been going on. And so at any rate, this is another country that we talk about a lot, North Korea. It's absolutely, probably a week don't go by, we try to get a story on North Korea. And you can't even talk about the culture in North Korea, really, because the place is so closed down. And it's so poor.
Yeah, it's called the Hermit Kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah.
There's a reason for that.
It is, yeah. And so, in Mozambique, that's where we're at now. Now, there's been a lot of this going on, and I wanted to touch on it anyway. When we get into Africa, it's just unbelievable how these people will kill one another. And, of course, there's a lot of people that had been beheaded lately. And in northern Mozambique, they had 50 people over 3 days of violence there, where they executed them, beheaded them.
That's just horrible how they could do that.
Yeah, and so when the villagers were caught, they would take them to the sports arena, and they would decapitate them and chop them to pieces. This is demonic in the first order. Mm. And these people that are doing this are sealing their doom. There are those that, when we talk about sealing doom, it's sealed because of what they do and continue to do it. And the thing of it is that if we look around the world and find why we got so much violence, you're going to find one culprit in the last several decades, and it's going to be radical Islam. Now, while we say that, we know that there's radical Hinduism and other religions as well. But pretty much the people going around killing and beheading are the radical Muslims, without question. And, yeah. Of course, when they do that, they have their phrase, they yell. And if you don't support the jihadists, this is another thing that they do in a lot of places. The jihadists will attack them and attack their property. They will burn what they can. They will kill. And so Christians are the number one target when they get in these areas. And of course, if you really look at everything that's happening. Now remember, throughout Africa, you know, you have a number of groups operating. The Fulani has really gotten big. There's Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda. It's more in the Middle East and up into Afghanistan. And you have the Taliban up there. You have also a little group of ISIS. But, of course, you've got oil and gas in this region, too, and that's another reason you have people coming in and wanting to take it, because they need the money so they can do it. But since 2017, there's been a little under 500,000 that's been left homeless. The actual number is around 430,000, but you're kissing distance to a 500,000. 2,000 people have been killed, but the homeless is just, what do you do with the homeless?
Oh, I know.
There's no place to go.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
So at any rate, and you know, that's one thing. They talk about the Somali-based group known as Al-Shabaab. They've got an African name for them. I'm not going to try to spell it, but we've got Somalis here in this country, and one of them, who is a Somali, I think it's Ilhan Omar, who's a Somali.
Yes, I believe she is.
And I've got a picture, and that same picture was on social media the last couple of days, and she was a member of a jihadist group, and she has a rifle, and she looks like a jihadist.
Oh, you can bet your bottom dollar she still is.
And she's in our Congress. And we
and
know.
She shouldn't be.
And we know that she was paying people to vote for, because Veritas got the picture of it, but yet nobody did anything. And that's what happens, especially since she's a Democrat, and Nancy Pelosi and Schumer are dumb when it comes to Democrats doing things, and they are corrupt when it comes to finding anybody else at fault.
Unless it's the president, then they'll find him at fault. He's to blame for everything.
Well, what I'm talking about is that they will find at fault with anybody but a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's the way they've been operating. I wouldn't trust some of these Democrats any further than you can throw them. And the way they're conducting this particular election in these states is corrupt as well.
Well, in my opinion, this Ilhan Omar, I think she should be stripped of her American citizenship, because she is not adhering to... She is not standing up to what she said she would, to defend the Constitution. And when you become an American, you want to assimilate into America and become an American, which she is not. And her beliefs, she needs to be deported back to Somalia.
I can tell you that you wouldn't have seen that 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, no.
We have fallen, America has, and... because this year we are so divided and we have stuff, you wouldn't see enemies like Ilhan Omar in your Congress. She is an enemy. You wouldn't see. There's a number of them up there.
So maybe this, her being allowed in here, is part of the judgment of God.
Well, you know, that's the way it works. You know, when you start falling away and you're becoming corrupt as a nation, God allows the enemy to come in. He's not going to fight the battle for you. You've fallen away. You've rejected him. And so he just pulls away, and you just reap what you sow, because, you know, you don't want to have anything to do it. Now, this year, we did have a number of Christian groups stand up and seek the Lord to give us victory. And on... You know, at the same time, they were asking for, you know, God to bless the Christians here and this nation and give us, you know, 4 more years of Trump. Because of the fake news, probably 90% of all the Democrats out there believed the fake news, and so there was division. And also on this, we're not only the biggest division in America, but we had one of the worst corrupt elections we've ever had in the history of this country. And Biden hasn't a clue what's going on. And, you know, I've listened to the experts who examine it, and they said it's not only impossible, it's improbable. There's no way that Biden got the numbers he got. There's no way he could have. But yet he did, and they got there. And they've also traced the very time on video where they saw that the ballots were being put into the Dominion machines. They can see from the thing that all the ballots came in went to Biden, every one of them, 300,000.
Yeah.
So these are the problems we have. And if you think cheating is going to give you a good United States, you're full of it. And so while we look at our brethren over there, you know, these people that are doing this would love nothing better to have America fall, because number one, there would be no group over here like an Open Door, like Persecuted.com. Barnabas Aid is over in the UK, but they have offices here. We have Samaritan's Purse with offices around the world, but also here. You have lots of Christians here. You have CBN, TBN, and many others who give and work to help people around the world. If this nation falls, you're going to kiss that goodbye, because there won't be no money going out. And if you think the world's in a hell of a mess now, you just try destroying this country and making it into some form of some idiotic, form of socialism that these morons have conceived. Our forefathers warned about it, and that's one of the things when they said, do we have a nation yet? And he says, it's a republic. You have a republic if you can keep it. And right now for America, it's if you can keep it. And so when we go through these things and this persecution and we see what's happening around the world, you know, and I've said this before, you can nail the troubles around the world to the door of the leaders in the countries, the leaders in the cities in America, the leaders of the states themselves, and also the leaders in Washington, D.C. That's the same thing that happened with Israel. When they had good leaders and were leading the people to God, there was blessings. And when they were falling away in evil, all hell broke loose, and it was terrible. So make no mistake, your leaders, the sin begins at the top and trickles down, and the people follow it, unfortunately. So if you're a Christian, you may not be too comfortable right now.
Yeah.
Because you've probably had more stuff than you are used to. You know, another place that we've heard a lot of, this is the Kaduna State, and that's in Nigeria. It's really funny how some of these locales come out. And they were sitting in their homes. And, you know, Americans have locks on their doors. Some of them have better locks than others. Most of these people over there in any other country don't have the steel locks and deadbolts we do. They might have some kind of wood thing across the door. They might have some kind of a small lock. But these, so early hours in November, these armed men came in and they killed this guy and his son, who were both Christians. And of course, another name comes up when all these killings were going on, and that's the Fulani. And you know, the thing of it is, Tower, it's beyond me why somebody somewhere in Nigeria, like Buhari, who's in charge, can't get off his throne of whatever he's on and convince the military to catch these turkeys.
Oh, I know. Unbelievable.
How hard is it? It's really hard, because they can't find nobody over there. These people do it, and I guess the government just says, well, they're only Christians, so we'll just let it go. Well, on November 5th, when the Fulani attacked, by the time they got done, the death toll so far is 237. Since the beginning of July, to 237 Christians, and not one of their lives have been, the blood that was spilt, nobody has been arrested. Nothing.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Totally wrong. Unconscionable that the government lets these things go on like that.
Now, the people within here, some of the people that have a little more understanding of the legal precedents, are calling on the International Criminal Court in The Hague to do something about this genocide that's going on. And it is a genocide. dear God in heaven, and you know, this is the thing that will wake you up at night. If you are concerned, if you cover this kind of thing, if you even give a whoing. And that's the real question here. You know, I ask myself, self, do they really care? Self hasn't come up with a very good answer. So I say, Lord, why don't somebody do something? And someday, because the people who should be doing something aren't, the Lord will come back and he will be the judge and he will set it right. And he will hold every one of these murderers and these deadbeats and these people who did nothing, that he will hold them accountable.
That's right. Amen.
So we're up to another one. Tower, you ready for this?
Yes, this comes to us from morningstarnews.org. It's about a couple pastors, well, a former sheikh and a pastor in Uganda. And the sheikh, who was a former Muslim, or he's a former sheikh in eastern Uganda, he refused to renounce Christ when he was confronted by five relatives who told him, or they demanded him to renounce Christ because it's a disgrace to our family. Well, he refused. And because of this refusal, he was outside his home with his son, his six-year-old son, Ibrahim. And the relatives started beating them with kicks and blows, and he tried to defend himself while the other attackers were stepping on his child's neck, suffocating him. And the assailants fled when neighbors rushed toward the commotion, and his son died before he could obtain medical help. And the family has not reported the attack to police out of fear of further violence by the assailants. And the sheikh, is married, and has three other children, ages 10, 8, and 4. And they had all put their faith in Christ 2 years ago. So please remember to pray for him and his family. That's just horrible that these people, these relatives, your own relatives, can come in and kill you and your children. Well, he didn't die, but his son did. That is just sad. It's terribly sad.
Well, you know, that's what the Lord said. The enemy will be those of your own family.
That's true.
And how many times have we covered these stories where they had to actually flee from their family?
Yeah. And 2 days before that, this pastor Wilson and his son Simon Peter, who was 12, were on motorcycles. The pastor's son was on a motorcycle driven by a 15-year-old Christian worker, and four attackers emerged from the bush, attacked them with a horn-hilted dagger. It's known as a Somali sword. So they attacked him with swords, and they told the man he was disrespecting the Muslim religion. And the boy was stabbed in the stomach, and he died while the pastor was trying to wrestle the attackers. And the assailants finally fled when other motorcyclists arrived. Well, the pastor had serious head wounds, and he was rushed to a clinic where he succumbed to his injuries 4 days later. The Christian worker sustained injuries to his hands. And the slayings in Uganda were the latest of many incidences of persecution of Christians in Uganda. Uganda's constitution and other laws provide for religious freedom, including the right to propagate one's faith and convert from one faith to another. Muslims make up no more than 12% of Uganda's population, with high concentrations in the eastern area of the country. You know, you would think that somebody would step in to stop that with only 12% of the population being Muslim.
Well, you know, we see this all over. And, you know, you really get back to something that is not a good subject people don't like, and that's when you get to the Crusades. Yeah. The only way that Islam was stopped was because of the Crusades.
Yeah, I think they need to have those again. Like the Dark Ages.
Well, they need to bring these people to justice. They need to stop them. But you get around in some of these nations, it just doesn't happen. Pakistan, you know, we've seen some changes in Pakistan very, very slowly. India, Prime Minister Modi has actually denied anything that there is such a thing as persecution of Christians. He said it's usually by the Christians who were troublemakers.
Yeah.
I remember some of the stuff he was talking about, but, you know, I mean, he's well-liked in the West. But, you know, they need to do something lawfully and legally. But, you know, you look at America right now. Right now, in New York City, there are so many deaths and so much crime over there that you have to go back 17 years. That's how bad it is. 17
wow.
years. And today there was, they had a 911 call, and when the 911 people got there, they got robbed, beat up and robbed.
Oh, you're kidding me.
They might have gotten killed. I can't remember that part, but I just was scanning headlines look at what was allowed up in Seattle and Portland. And they were having riots again. And I seen a video today where the police up in, I think it is Seattle or Portland, one of those two, they had another one of their little cities they built.
Oh, an autonomous zone?
Yeah, and they chased the police out.
Oh, my goodness.
The police ran like a bunch of scared rabbits. And, of course, you've got socialists on their...
Well, you know, they're stockpiling guns and ammunition in those autonomous zones. They have full riot gear. They're being protected. They're being paid.
Well, you have a bunch of political morons that won't do anything. You've got people that shouldn't be on a city council, let alone American citizens, that are going against the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, and nobody does a stinking thing. So while we're talking about what they're doing overseas, you can see the beginnings of this stuff in America today.
You sure can.
And unless somebody stands up, and I'll tell you what'll happen, because right now, If these people continue to try to destroy things, you're going to have a war between a significant amount of former veterans, current veterans, and patriots, plus a few more that will fight to kill those who are causing the trouble. That's what will happen if we don't get some suitable... arrangements here. But see, we're in that time period. We are in this time period of lawlessness. We're in the time period where Christians are going to get, beheaded. What would happen if we suddenly found a whole bunch of Muslims beheaded and pig's blood thrown on them?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But see, they don't have a bit of problem not doing anything about the Muslims killing a few dirty Christians out there that are causing trouble. And in this case, it was that pastor and a rider on a motorcycle minding their own business.
Yeah.
And these thugs coming out of the brush. See, that's the justice overseas that we see. And it's easy for these people in Africa because their background is tribal mentality. And in tribal mentality, one of the characteristics, you can look at this. Anybody in knowledge of history knows this. And even civics, you can see how these tribes operate. And war was one of their main things. They all had enemies and they all warred. The tribal mentality. And that is what is going on in Africa today. The tribes are the Christians, the tribes are the Muslims, the tribes are the Buddhists, etc., etc., etc. And they're all, you know, and the main group, of course, is your Islamists, unfortunately. Now, if you get over in China, the main group that's causing it is your communists, your Chinese commies. You get North Dakota, North Korea. It is the way their Korean system is set up there. So you can find it, and there's different causes. It's not just religious, but it is division. And of course, if you look at the stuff behind a lot of these countries, you're going to find Marxism. So there you go. And we've got
not a fun thing.
No. From Article 18, a 56-year-old guy with his wife and two children, two Iranian Christian converts have overturned on appeal a combined 10-year prison sentence for their leadership of a house church.
That's good.
And
it overturned it, right?
Yeah, they overturned it. Well, they were sentenced to 4 and 6 years respectively. And the ruling wasn't made public, but later on, an appeals court judge overturned the verdict. And of course, people are hailing it as miraculous. This is Iran. I'll tell you, that is miraculous.
Yes.
You don't usually find it. And both defendants have similar stated that we are Christians and members of a house church and have gathered for worship and prayer and have not done anything against our country, which we love. We are law-abiding citizens. The Bible calls us to respect and honor the laws of our country. Based on these statements, the judge overturned the verdict.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, thank God for this judge. And thank God that it's thing. So, there's a way, you know. God does get in there, and we do see these deliverances. And I am happy.
I am
when
too.
when I see that.
Yes, me too. And we don't see it a lot, but we need to see it more and more.
Yeah, we do. And so don't forget to pray for all of these we've covered tonight. And you need to pray for your nation and pray for your family. You need to focus prayer.
Amen.
And you need to be stalwart about it and believe. Because the devil is everywhere. The trouble is in the hearts of men and women and kids. So we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. Please pray for your brethren around the world and pray for us in this ministry. And we help when you can. Give to organizations that have boots on the ground to help our brethren. And I hope you all are doing well and staying safe. We love you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Don't forget to go to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.